Hare Krishna. Many holy places are mentioned in Shastra. And some not holy places are also mentioned. Dubai is not mentioned directly in Shastra. Although it is stated in Shastra that deserts appeared on the earth because the earth took sinful reaction for killing of a brahmana. So the earth took some of that reaction, and the deserts are a manifestation of the sinful reaction of killing a brahmana. And Srila Prabhupada comments, this is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada comments that people who live in deserts are sharing in the sinful reactions of killing a brahmana. So, how wonderful it is to live in Dubai. Well, they don't see the desert. It's all covered up artificially, but actually it's a desert. The word Dubai comes many times in Chaitanya Charitamrita, not in reference to the location in which we are presently situated, but those of you who know Hindi, which means most of you know the term Dubna, which means immersion or drowning, or I'm not sure in Hindi, but in Bengali it also means to, for something to go down. Means that in Hindi also. So it's one form of the verb comes out in Bengali as Dubai. Now, obviously, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in several times using the word Dubai, Dubaite, which is another grammatical form of it, did not have what is now one of the United Arab Emirates in mind. However, the word is there, and we can remember, when hearing the word Dubai, this other usage. It's something like that was described to me some 30 years ago or so by a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada's called Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu. He spent time with Sri Vamshidas Babaji, who was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. About Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's explained that he had three phases of consciousness. Completely absorbed in, totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness without any awareness of the world around him. Then he had external consciousness. It didn't mean that he forgot Krishna, but he was also aware of what was going on around him, and an intermediate state. But it appears that with Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, said he was mostly in the internal state, and sometimes came out to the semi awareness of what's going on around him. So, Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu explained about him that if he heard any word, if he heard anyone saying anything, whether the words spoken were Krishna conscious or not, he would only hear words in relation to Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So, Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu gave the example that if someone would say the word government, of course they would speak to him in Bengali, or his own people from his own district of Moymansingh, they would speak to him in his own Moymansingi Upabhasha, the local dialect. So Bengali for him was the second language, but he didn't speak much to anyone except to his deities. But anyway, Dr. Shekhar Prabhu gave the example that if he heard the word government, then he would convert that to Govardhan. He said, oh, Govardhan. What do you think about the government? Dharmate shambhane apni ki mone kare. Govardhan. What do you think about the government? Govardhan. You'd see the train, you'd say, oh, where are you going? You're going to find your Rai, Radharani. So like this, it was just what people would, if you gave his case to a modern psychologist, he would probably give some name of extreme religious disorder or something like this. That's our aim, to be like that. Our aim is to be absorbed, immersed in Krishna consciousness. That is the aim. So the word Dubai comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, has nothing to do with the United Arab, what is now politically called the United Arab Emirate, and previously was a trading post. It still is a trading post, but it developed more. But nevertheless, that term does come in Chaitanya Charitamrita several times in the Bengali. And as you all have to hear the word Dubai again and again, then you can relate it to the spiritual usage in Chaitanya Charitamrita rather than the standard usage, which people who are considered normal and sane ascribe to it, although actually people who have no interest in Krishna consciousness, they are suffering from a severe irreligious disorder. They're all mad. So, I'll read the, and with the help of the Bhaktivedanta Veda base, I didn't take out all the usages with Dubaite, and there are other forms of the verb, but just where exactly the word Dubai comes, and I'll read the verses in Bengali and give the translation and then discuss further. So here's a fairly well-known verse from the Adilila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes the flood of love of Godhead brought to this earth by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Bandha. Uchorela prema bonna chodike berai, stri briddho balak juba shabare.
Dubai.
You got it right. So the prema bonna, it rose and it spread out in all directions. And thus, everyone, including women, old people, young boys, and youths, they all got duped. They all got immersed. They all got drowned in the flood of love of God. These are all very nice verses because they all describe, it's mostly, it's metaphorical use to say that people are drowned in love of God. So there are various usages. Then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking similarly about the ocean. It's the Shuddha Prema Shukra Sindhu, the ocean of happiness, of pure love, which means pure love for Krishna, because there's no pure love outside love of Krishna. Shuddha Prema Shukra Sindhu Pai tar ek bindu, shei bindu jagat Dubai. Kahi bar joganoi tathapi baule koi, kahi le ba keva patiai. So, as Srila Prabhupada's translation, unalloyed love of Krishna is like an ocean of happiness. If someone gets one drop of it, the whole world can drown in that drop. The whole world does drown in that drop. It is not befitting to express such love of Godhead, yet a madman must speak. Yet tatapi baule koi. Yet nevertheless, the bowel, the term is used here, bowel. If you know it well, if you used to see bowels when wandering madmen, some kind of sadhus, and their aim was to be mad. Religious mad. Tatapi baule koi. And even if they speak, who will believe him? Who will accept that? Yes. I spoke to you this morning about Richard Dawkins. Who's heard the name of Richard Dawkins? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, I guess he's not a big issue out here, but if you're preaching in the Western world, you should know the name. Just like if you're preaching Krishna consciousness in India, you should know the name Shankaracharya. He's a philosophical opponent. So Richard Dawkins is an active proponent of atheism, he claims to be an agnostic, but he says 99.99% there's no God. There may be some small chance that there is God, according to him. So, if we talk to him about the ocean of bliss, of pure love of Krishna, it doesn't mean anything to him whatsoever. It just doesn't, there's no attraction or interest, and he just cannot, he doesn't want to believe in it at all. He thinks it's against the interest of humankind to have any religious feeling, so he's campaigning against religion. And actually he has some very good points, but I mean there are something seriously wrong with a lot of what goes on in the name of religion. But his overall thesis we don't accept. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking about the ocean of love of Godhead in which we are all to be immersed. Not to speak of an ocean, even a drop from that ocean can drown the whole world. It's so expensive. And this whole material world is so insignificant and useless and meaningless in comparison to love of Krishna. That's why you'll find the bodies like Bhagavad Babaji, they just don't relate to this world at all. What's the point? The devotees, they just go to Vrindavan and live like birds, as is stated in the 10th canto. They live like birds, means that they have no concern for where their food will come from, and they just sing. They don't clothe themselves, so that's what devotees do, because they have no interest in this world, and that's why many people are against Krishna consciousness, especially if their relatives take to Krishna consciousness. Everything that everyone lives for, you're just going to spoil it and lose it, and you lose all your drive and your ambition, you'll miss all the good things of life, just like, I joined this movement in my youth, and I never had a good career, or fancy car, or even I never had a house, I just spoiled my whole life. So that's the estimation of materialistic people. But as far as devotees are concerned, just even one drop of Krishna consciousness is of significant, it's of value, whereas everything put together in this whole world, even if you're to have the happiness of Brahma 100 lives in a row, it's just all nonsense. It's all meaningless. So our aim, if anyone asks you, Well, what is the point of this Krishna consciousness? Well, actually, we want to get drowned. That's all. We're practicing how to get drowned. Well, what do you mean? We want to get drowned in love of Krishna. People, they just can't relate to it. They can't understand at all. So, therefore, tatapi bauleva, the madman speaks. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that non-devotees who are like camels, creatures of the desert, they can't understand this. Very good. We're very happy that they can't understand it. They can't even begin to understand it or begin to relate to it. Let them be camels. Let them be in their own world, chewing the thorns which make their tongue bleed, and they enjoy the taste of them. These things shouldn't be spoken, because people will misunderstand it. But that they misunderstand it, well, that's fitting for them. There's no entry into Krishna consciousness by any mundane means. The Dawkins can have his effect and make people think there's no God. Well, in one sense, they deserve it, because their whole idea of God is so materialistic, that he's a cosmic order supply. So love of Krishna has got nothing to do with this concept of God is someone who you give your shopping list to, or God is someone who it's a good deal. You just offer a little incense and you get so much back. Or he's a psychological crutch or something like this. So, again this word comes up, Gopinath Acharya, I asked this morning. Gopinath Acharya, Srimad Sarvam Bhatta Acharya and Ramananda Rai, I asked Dina Pavana Prabhu, looking for Padam Srina this morning, yes, if he knew who are Sarvam Bhatta Acharya and Ramananda Rai. Vaguely said, yeah, heard of them, not quite sure. So those are devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should know. These are big figures in Chaitanya Leela. Whole chapters are dedicated. One whole chapter is dedicated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, dedicated to a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma. Another is dedicated to a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, which is, that chapter is a brief outline of the zenith or the actual point of Gaudiya teachings. So that on the basis of that, all other Gaudiya Rasa Shastra has been developed. So it's good to know these things. Of course, there are many things to learn in Krishna consciousness, but it's good to have a familiarity, at least with the names of Sarvabhauma Acharya, and know something about them. Therefore, I make this small book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so the devotees, if you have to read all Bhagavad Gita, and reading Bhagavad Gita is a lifelong, multi-lifelong project. Bhagavadam, Jodhanama, Tegyanamama, it may take many lives to get through it all. Someone says, well, I finished reading Bhagavad Gita. And you never started, if you think like that. And then want to speak of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then come to Chaitanya Charitamrita. I mean, we really don't have much time in our lives for all to get immersed. So, to give devotees an idea before they can, otherwise they have to wait so long, I made that small book, so you can get some idea of the basic outline of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Anyway, Gopinatha Acharya, who's also figure of some statue in Gaura Lila. He says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about Sarvabhava Ramananda, Meramanda Parbat Dubai Jata Tata Edui Gonda Shaila Yahta Tata. Gopinatha Acharya. So what's going on here is that Sarvabhava Ramananda, who are the very big scholars in a time when scholarship doesn't mean you go to school and you get an MSc or something like that. That's not scholarship. That's just MSc means you learn how to become a sophisticated shudra, actually. But there's no, and you can see by what people do with the money they earn, they use it for sense gratification, which means they're shudras. That's not education at all. That's nonsense. It's a misapplication of the word education to think that this, what we call nowadays education, is actual education. Education means to study Shastra. That is actual education, right? To have a philosophical understanding of the nature of everything. That means that's what philosophy is about. So, these Sarvabhauma and Ramananda were big scholars in an era when there was even the average scholar was far better than any shastra we have nowadays. I always have a laugh when I hear somebody say, oh, Bhante Vikaswami, he's a scholar. They can only say that because they don't know what a scholar is. They have no idea. So, Gopinath, these were great scholars, but then they were in the water, in the lake. I can't remember, was it Narendra Sarovar, Indrajumna Sarovar, one of those two in Puri. And they were playing water sports, with splashing water on each other and playing like children. So, Gopinatha Acharya commented that this is a sign of your mercy upon them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they're not hung up about being scholars. Generally scholars are very grave and they have to maintain their dignity, but Gopinatha Acharya said that this is a sign of your mercy on them, that they can play like children, like water sports, splashing water, having a water fight. That they can lose their gravity and because gravity is not the aim and object of life. Spontaneity in Krishna consciousness. So Gopinath Acharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that a drop from the ocean of mercy, of your mercy, can drown Dubai, great mountains like Sumeru and Mandava. So these two are like little hills by comparison. So it's not surprising that they're being drowned in the ocean of your mercy. It's all quite, much of Chaitanya Charitamrita is very poetical language, so it takes a little getting used to for people who are used to reading tabloids and cartoons or not reading anything at all. Or just reading the Upanishads. You know, actually Upanishads are not supposed to be read at all. It's actually sinful to read the Upanishads. You know that? Because it's the Vedas. The Vedas are supposed to be conveyed by oral tradition only. So actually to read the Upanishads, according to the Upanishadic tradition, is sinful. But anyway, what to do? People are so stupid nowadays. Including myself. I'm not Prabhupada gave us the Isha Upanishad translation. But the tradition is it should not be written at all. It should only be write enough brain substance to remember it by hearing. They should only be admitted into the subtleties of it. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana Goswami, here's another usage of the word. I mean, same usage, to plunge into water, but another, it's also metaphorical, but it's not referring to the ocean of love of Krishna. It's talking about the sufferings of the living beings of the material world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says about the living beings in the material world, Kobu Shari Uthai. Sometimes they go up to Swargaloka, Kobu Narake Dubai. And sometimes they push down into, they fall down into her. Donga Jane Raja Jaina Nodite Chubai. So, the example is that as a person who's punished by the king, he's sometimes forcibly dumped underwater. And then when it's calculated that he should be almost drowned, they pull him up. Maybe sometimes they make a mistake and they actually drown him. So that goes on. You get dumped underwater and held for, I don't know, 2 minutes at a time. How long is it supposed to be the average that you can go without drowning, without air, if you're not a yogi? Do they teach you that in medical school?
Was it
30
seconds?
30 seconds. So I guess by 2 minutes, the average person would be already a corpse. Then you can do an autopsy. Sell it off for the organs. Kidney. How much is a kidney these days? It's an illegal business. Yeah, they're only supposed to be donated.
It's like many procedures. But
you are allowed to sell it legally, is it?
Legally, yeah. Some relative wants to donate.
I see. It's only supposed to be by donation. It does go on.
Lots of paperwork and signature and everything.
I see.
And then all
leads. I see. Okay. So that's not a very nice way. That's a horrible punishment. You get dunked underwater, drowning, and then what happens? You start to black out. Had that experience where you don't get air and you start to black out. Then you're pulled up. Pushed under again. It's amazing the different kinds of tortures and nasty things that people have devised throughout the ages. How to inflict suffering on others. Even there's this waterboarding was recently invented by Americans, it seems. Or maybe they outsourced it to someone. But anyway, the Americans, because there are all these kinds of tortures which are illegal by international law, so they invented a new method. They said, not torture, so it's not in the books. So there are always new ways to torture people. Okay, let's get back to this, something a little more relishable. Although we also do need to hear about, apart from drowning in the bliss of the of spiritual ecstasy, we also need to hear about the closer to our present situation, drowning in the ocean of misery of this material world. So Krishna is speaking to Sanatana Goswami. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sanatana Goswami about the form of Krishna. The sweetness of the form of Krishna. Jai Rupair Ekon Dubai Shab Tribhuvan. Sharva prani kare akarsha. Even a little drop of appreciation. A tiny fraction. Well, I'll just read Prabhupada's translation. My dear Sanatan, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. So that's nice that we hear the word Dubai, which we hear every day, several times, probably. You can learn this verse. Jirupir ekon Dubai shok tribhuvan sharva prani kare akarshan. So that's better than thinking of, you know, Bur Dubai, Dera, and all these different places. You can think of the, even a slight appreciation, a tiny appreciation of the beauty of Krishna is enough to drown and merge all the three worlds and attract all living beings. And there's more. Describing about the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining the about Krishna in the typical poetic language. Tarunamrita Paraba Taronga Labandasha Tate Se Avarta Bhavadam Bongshi Dhani Chakrabat Nare Manjunapat Tahar Dubai Nahayudvam. This is much, much better than reading the Straits Times. That's the local paper? College Times. That's Singapore. That's right. You're on the wrong side of India. So, the translation of this is, the bodily beauty of Sri Krishna is like a wave in the ocean of eternal youth. In that great ocean is the whirlpool of the awakening of ecstatic love. The vibration of Krishna's flute is like a whirlwind, and the flickering minds of the gopis are like straws and dry leaves. After they fall down in the whirlwind, they never rise again, but remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's a lot better than any newspaper. Isn't it? What do you think?
Yes.
Why don't you say, you can send to the editor. Here, how about publishing this? They'll never publish. They'll publish police arrest such and such. All nasty things. But here we have such beautiful things. We have in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining again. Krishna Rupamrita Sindhu Taha Taranga Bindu Eight Bindu Jagat Dubai. Sri Jagate Jato Nari Tar Chitta Bhutcha Giri Taha Dubai Ade Uti Dhai. The consciousness of each woman within the three worlds is certainly like a high hill, but the sweetness of Krishna's beauty is like an ocean. Even a drop of water from that ocean can flood the entire world and submerge all the high hills of consciousness. So the implication here is that, yeah, the consciousness of a chaste woman is compared to a big hill, which cannot be submerged. Those of you who Bangladesh, you may know that in the land is very low. Chattagram is a shareholder. The land is low, and then they raise the land and build the settlements there, the villages, because flooding is normal. If you go to Bangladesh after 2 months from now, the whole country will just like a big sheet of water. But there are high areas which are made by raising land, and the houses are built on them. And I described in that Glimpses of Indian Life, traditional Indian life, once we were going upstream, and there was a storm was going on in the rainy season, and then it was getting too much, the boat was going to turn over, so we came to some high land where there was some houses, and exhausted we went to sleep at night, not knowing that with the water rising if we would be drowned in the middle of the night. So if there's a big hill, you don't expect that actually by the morning the rain had stopped. So you wonder, I'm still here to tell the story. So a big hill, a high hill, that's not expected to be covered by water at any time. So like that, a chaste woman, it's not expected that she'll be attracted to any man except her husband. But if she sees Krishna, then it's like a massive flood which drowns everything. Even the big hills, which are not exposed. So, in other words, nothing is susceptible. Nothing is insusceptible. Krishna's beauty can... The attraction of Krishna's beauty is enough to drown all our hopes of... drown all the hopes of women, especially. One of Krishna's qualities is that he's very kind to women, especially. Women are especially attracted to him. So we all have to become women. We all are women. Prakriti is female. We're Krishna's Purush, we are Prakriti. So the idea that I am the enjoyer is a male feeling. That belongs to Krishna. And we are the enjoyed, that is a female feeling. That belongs to everyone else. That doesn't mean that the men should put on sari. And actually nowadays you don't have to, because the women all wear male clothes. All the women are trying to become men, artificially. But actually the men should become women, not artificially. In the sense that we should all accept our position of subordination to Krishna. The woman's position is to be subordinate to the man. The jiva's position is to be subordinate to Krishna. So we're all female in relation to Krishna. Now, describing about Krishna's voice. Kante gombhir dhani, nava ghana dhani jini, ja kune kokilo jai, tar ek shruti kone, dubai jagate kane, puna khan bahuri nae. Krishna's deep voice is more resonant than newly arrived clouds. In other words, the clouds, they make some rumbling sound, some deep sound. But Krishna's voice is more attractive. And his sweet song defeats even the sweet voice of the cuckoo. Cuckoo is the translation for kokil. You don't know kokil? You don't get them in Dubai. what birds are here? Sparrows and crows, probably seagulls, pigeons, lots of pigeons passing through. Indeed, his song is so sweet that even one particle of its sound can inundate the entire world. So, Dubai, inundate. Krishna's song is so sweet that even one particle... So it's the same analogy that's going on. And it says metaphorical usage, analogical usage. That one drop is not enough to drown anything. You can't even drown a mosquito in one drop of water. Maybe an ant. But actually one drop forms itself. And then, well, suddenly you see an ant gets in a drop of water and then stops being a drop and they struggle out of it. So a drop of water is very small, an ocean is very great, but the ocean of the sweetness of Krishna, of love of Krishna, everything about Krishna is just like a huge ocean which we can't imagine. And one drop from that can drown the whole material world. So again, the analogy is given that the beauty of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna, the attraction of Krishna, the sweetness of his voice, it's just completely overwhelms everything in the material world, all put together, is completely insignificant in relationship to Krishna. And this is being expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not as a philosophical principle, it is a philosophical principle, but in term as an experience that when there's attraction for Krishna, then everything in the world is, all of it put together, there's no, it's just meaningless, it just gets washed away. Then the description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in ecstasy, escaping from his room at night, where he was locked in, because at night he would have, when he was with devotees during the daytime, this is in Puri where he was staying, he was with devotees in the daytime, he would be moving around with them and going to the temple, and he would act relatively normally. At night, he would be in his room, the Gambhira. His room is called the Gambhira. And in the beginning of the night, he would be with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, and they would, or sometimes he would wander at night in the gardens, gardens or some other place. For the end of the night, he's supposed to go to sleep, and he'd be locked in his room, and Shankara Pandit would be with him, because otherwise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would rub his face on the wall, just out of transcendental blissful distress at separation from Krishna, or he would wander out and all over the place, and he wouldn't know what was happening to him. There are many descriptions of his transcendental madness. So he was locked in, and he had Chandra Pandit staying with him to look after him. But one time, anyway, he used to go out. No one knew how, even though it was all locked up. And then he wasn't found at all. So all the devotees went looking for him. They looked everywhere, and then they started walking up the beach toward Konark. Anyway, he went in the sea. I won't give the whole narration here. He felency, and it's described here. Parite hoyo murcha kichu ena jaye, kabu dubai, kabu bhashaye, tarangyara gane. He fell into the sea, he lost consciousness, and could not understand where he was. Sometimes he sank beneath the waves, kabu dubai, and sometimes he floated above them. So you can remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of submerging, getting lost in the sea, submerging in the sea. So these are better things to think of when you say the word Dubai. The conventional usage is that we can remember these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also that immersion in Krishna consciousness, that is Krishna consciousness. That's the real meaning of Krishna consciousness. Real Krishna consciousness is not something to try to be attained, but real, to actually be Krishna conscious means to be conscious of Krishna. That actual Krishna consciousness means the state of attainment, of sadhya, not the stage of sadhana. Sadhana bhakti is called bhakti because it's expected to develop fully into that. But real bhakti doesn't mean that sometimes we're thinking about dhanjan sundari and how I'd like to enjoy all these wealth, followers, and women. But it means that we're long, there's no such thought in the mind of any such thing. There's only thought of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. So that is our real aim. So, of course, in the beginning, we tell people, chant Hare Krishna, take prasad, and be happy. And that's Krishna consciousness. And, yeah, that's good. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's a lot better than not chanting Hare Krishna, being immersed in your iPhone or whatever you have, and eating all kinds of horrible things that are available. And Krishna Prasad, Srila Prabhupada established that as a great way of preaching. Philosophy is one thing, but it's pratyaksha valamam dharmyam, it's directly experienced religion.
Susuka.
And yes, and susuka, everyone likes prasad. So, here in Dubai, I think that's, well, as in other places, but that's a major part for the bachelors especially. That they come to a satsang, you get the added bonus of nice prasad. So, that's very important. As Srila Prabhupada said in one conversation, he was discussing with his disciples that, you'll see these stories, while I came to Krishna consciousness, I was thinking about the goal of life and, you know, who is God and all these things. Prabhupada said, actually, you all came because of prasad. That was a major fact. I mean, it's not that the devotees weren't thinking about what the goal of life is and who is God and all this kind of thing. But the prasadam was definitely a major clinching factor in helping people to surrender to Krishna. I mean, all these austerities, what seemed getting up early in the morning, no illicit sex was a tough one, for many, well, people in the West especially. And actually for everyone everywhere. Although certain cultures are more degraded than others, but the prasadam helps everyone to keep going. So it is very important, and I'm sure you all definitely know that. And it's an unspoken major commitment here that there should be always delicious prasadam. So very good. Congratulations on year after year, day after day, keeping the devotees in Krishna consciousness with prasadam. So that's required. But we should know that there is a stage of Krishna consciousness where Asvishyava Padaratam is not that, you know, unless I get my Gulabjanams, I'm not coming. There is a stage. There was actually an advertisement, something, there's in a worldwide advertisement for a big jeans company, yeah. Wrangler Jeans. I think there's not a big company anymore, as it used to be. Is still going on, Wrangler Jeans?
Yes, yes.
Wrangler, it was number two after Levi's. So they had an advertisement in which they had the devotees chanting Hare Krishna in public, which the devotees in the West used to be famous for. People thought it was, in general opinion, always seemed to be that it was strange, but harmless. People are a bit cranky, but they're nice. So there was the devotees all dressed up with their regular orange robes, and then one of them with shaved head, and instead of orange robes, had his Wrangler jeans on. And he said, and the advertisement said, if I can't wear my Wranglers, I'm not coming. And we have to talk about that. We have to backtrack a bit.
Gulab Jamuns.
Yeah, okay. So there is a stage of Krishna consciousness beyond. Where if I don't get my Gulab Jamuns, I'm not coming. If I can't wear my Wranglers, I'm not coming. There is a stage. I mean, actually, there are many stages beyond that, and we should try to advance beyond that to the stage of complete absorption. It's not just Hari Bol, and that, you know, that's it. Verse from Bhagavad Gita. Prayatna yatamanastu yogi sangshuddha kilvishaha aneka janva sansiddhas tatoyati parangatim. When the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contaminations, then ultimately achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal. So the yogis, they have to work hard. Prayatna yatamanas to, it's hard work. Spiritual advancement is hard work. They have to, it requires some application. Now you may say, well, now is the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is such that you can get away with just saying Hari Bol and get Krishna praying. Hari Bol! So, yeah, you may think that you know, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, you can somehow or other remain a neophyte and get Krishna praying at the same time. However, that is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and Krishna consciousness, to be immersed in Krishna consciousness is not such a cheap thing that you can just somehow or other mumble your way through 16 rounds or less sometimes and cultivate all your material attachments and get Krishna praying. You may have some strange idea of what Krishna praying is, but that's not the praying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu anarvita chirin chirad karunya atirna kalau samapyata minatashvara rasa sukhatishriyam. The love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, the highest benediction of resplendent love of Godhead, is not such a petty thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about the praying that he came to give, jatnagrahamina bhaktina janmai praying, that without prayatna, you know this word, yatna, prayatna, which I just quoted from this Bhagavad Gita verse. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that without jatna in Bengali, or yatna in Sanskrit, without sin, which Srila Prabhupada translates as sincere endeavor. yatna agraha. So yatna jatna agraha. So agraha means enthusiasm. So without that, without enthusiastic persistence and endeavor, then prema does not arise. It's not such, Krishna prema is not such a cheap thing that you can just hari bol and some special mercy, so-called special mercy, and you can get Krishna prema. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy is that he gives us all these instructions by which we can attain to prema, but we have to do our work also. That is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, immersion, dubna, is not very likely or very possible by living the way of life that most people in Dubai, to use that word again, live. It's not a very favorable situation. Of course, one can be Krishna conscious in any circumstance, but practically most people are not very Krishna conscious, and life in Dubai means long hours, hard work, and practically everyone is absorbed in making money. Most of their life goes in making money. Not blaming you all for that, it's just the reality of being here. If you want to have your rice, dal, and chapatis, you got to go out and do some work. That's the general understanding or way of life. And it doesn't come easily. The people who employ you, they don't like to give you money. They want to make money. They don't like to give you money. So they're only going to give you money if they think they're going to get more out of it than they put in. That's called business, right? You're supposed to go in with a certain amount of money and get more money. So if they employ you, they're putting out money and they want to get more back than they put in. And business means they put in endeavor. And so then they're absorbed in thoughts of making money. So it's a grind. And this whole way of life is not conducive for spiritual advancement. It's not impossible to make spiritual advancement in this situation, but to get the immersion, complete immersion in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada, who wanted to see the whole world drowned in Krishna consciousness, he set up a program for grihasthas that they can live simple life, farm communities, live together, living with devotees, you can do your work in Krishna consciousness directly. If you plow in the field, you can sing Hare Krishna. I don't think any of you at your work, there's no law against it, the employer doesn't say, but it would not be appreciated if you were to sing Hare Krishna, whatever your work is. Is it in your office? Of course, you may have your own shop, but then if you sing Hare Krishna, the customers, they may not like to come. So it's the situation is not very favorable here. Whereas if you're in a devotee community, you can. Well, if you're building a house, you chant Hare Krishna while you're doing it. And that's not only not considered wrong or strange, but it's encouraged. So the whole atmosphere is meant for immersion in Krishna consciousness. So, you could consider that. You don't have to spend your whole life immersed in the bhav of Dubai, which is Pumsastriya Mitali Bhavaveta. It all boils down to, the whole of material life boils down to the attraction between male and female. And then, Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitaya. It's all this expansion, building big buildings, and showing up. Srila Prabhupada said that this is all a manifestation of sexual desire, that's all. People want, men build all these big buildings just to impress women, that's all. Big cars, why? What do you need a big car for? It's actually a liability, you're more likely to get stuck in a traffic jam. So, but it's just to impress women. And people may not even directly, consciously know it, but it's at least subliminally it's there. So, and yeah, this is called moha. Janasya moha moha mahamma. I need and money. It all expands. There's this word stream, which causes vistar, which causes expansion. So expansion on the mundane platform means contraction on the spiritual platform. So living simply with devotees means to expand on the spiritual platform. And then the stri, instead of being agents of Maya or representatives of Maya, then they can help to expand the Krishna consciousness. That's Shuddha Stri. Otherwise, Stri, or woman in this material world, means the mundane, expansive principle. So, that's for grihasthas. And for young men who are not married, it's called the Brahmachari Ashram. You don't have to get into this Griha Kshetra Sutta Apta Vita. These are all conjuncts of the Grihastha Ashram. That you have to have a house. Brahmachari doesn't have to have a house. I've never had a house, either rented or bought. It's great, no worries, just depend on Krishna. Those are Grihasthas, I think they can't understand this. Because Grihastha means Griha, but Brahmachari brings us. Ashram, we can stay, or otherwise we'll go here and there, and Krishna arranges. That's all. So, Brahmachari life means you don't have all these things. Griha, Kshetra, my property, and all this social life, all these things. You're free of that baggage. All you have to do is serve Guru and Krishna. And that's immersion. Brahmachari means he should be immersed. Otherwise, not a Brahmachari. He has nothing to do but serve Guru and Krishna. So, those of you are not putting down Grihastha life, I'm just stating some realities according to Shastra. Grihasthas can also be Krishna conscious, but they do have extra baggage to deal with. It can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, but it's not intrinsically favorable for it. If you're unmarried, you didn't get entangled in that way, then it's the straight path to getting immersed in Krishna consciousness. Just get immersed. Nothing else to do but serve Krishna. We're sitting here and saying this in Dubai. It's a Dubai lecture. I remember the recently departed Mahamani Krishna Prabhu, he would not agree with this at all. When I first came to Dubai, ISKCON Dubai, there was no ISKCON Dubai, it was this small apartment where he lived. And two or three people used to come around. So I developed more and more. But we used to have some good verbal fights. He would say, what's all this brahmacharya? Everyone should get married. So I didn't agree with that. That discussion will go on forever. It will always go on. And those of you who are not married, the grihasthas will tell you you should get married. And I will tell you you should not get married. And you can choose. It's up to you. It's up to you. But anyway, we should all get immersed in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise you get immersed in useless things. Then it becomes hari hari vifaleja. Yeah, don't, you should aim, everyone should aim that at the end of life I will not be singing hari hari vifaleja namagayo. Manusha janama paya radha krishna namujiya janaya shunya visha kaina. Oh, Hari, I uselessly lived my life. I got a human life. I didn't worship Radha and Krishna. Even though I knew that that's what I should be doing, I neglected to do so. Of course, a devotee in humility always thinks that I didn't worship Radha and Krishna. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who among Vaishnavas who are intense, Vaishnavas, he was extremely intense. But he also had that feeling. At the end of his life, he asked the devotee to sing that song. What is that? Tariyati Prani. There's a song that you don't know. Sing about Krishna.
Ratina Janvila.
No, this is a song from Bhaktivinoda. Sorry, the second verse of Shikshastaka. He's put it in Bengali verse. So at the end it says, Atishai Mandalath Bhagya Amar. Oh my Lord, my luck is very bad. Huh? How does it go? Can you look it up? What is that? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked this to be sung. So you can look up in your Vedas. M-A-N-D-A. And then N-A-T-H-A. Another word. It should come up. Atishai Mandanath Bhagavan. Come up.
Dvaya Dvaya Achen Parahoga.
Tuha Dvaya Achen Parahoga. Then what's the end of the song, the last few lines?
Nahi Janamalo Name.
Nahi Janamalo Mor.
Name
Anurag.
Name Anurag.
Mor. Bhakti Vinoda Chitta Dukhe
Vibhor. Bhakti Vinoda Chitta Dukhe Vibhor. So, that's the last step. Bhakti Vinoda Chitta Dukhe Vibhor. My Bhaktivinoda sings, my heart is overcome by sorrow because I could not. Nahi Janam Alamor, Namai Anurag. I couldn't develop any attachment for the Holy Name. So, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur was feeling like that. In his whole life was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So a Vaishnava may feel like that, but it's better not to actually be like that. We should utilize this valuable human life in becoming immersed in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So meditation on the better usage of the word dubara. But, and remember that it's not just some poetic description in a book about someone who lived 500 years ago, but it's meant for all of us. We're all meant to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Jatnagraha bina na janmai prema. Without sincere endeavor in devotional service, love of Godhead does not arise. To be deeply considered. We're all going to die soon. So, what are we going to do in between then, in between now and then? Do we think the way our life is going on now, that before we come to the time of death, which we don't know when it will be, can be any time, do we think we're going to be absorbed in Krishna? At the present rate we're going on, we have to jack up, we have to intensify. What do you think? So, any questions, please?